Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your gospel. Thank you for your patience with doubters. Lord, I pray for our children as they go out into the narthex for their sermon and for us in here, that you would help us be renewed in our faith and to trust in you. And I pray for our preacher, Brent, this morning. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, kids. Everyone else may be seated. And I'm going to have Brent come out here to the pulpit. Many of you know Brent. In fact, in the bulletin insert, there's some details. 25 years ago, he was sent out from this congregation to go do missions work, to be trained, and then he went and was effective in planting churches in Turkey, and was, you know, there's a biblical principle here. If you're faithful with the little, you get entrusted with more. And so he went from that to suddenly taking over Christar, which was training hundreds of global missionaries, and now he's got a new thing. And if you've been effective in training hundreds of global missionaries, where do you go from there? I'm going to let him tell you at another time more about what he's working on right now, but it's a super exciting season. And so I'm just really glad to have Brent and Kim back with us. So thanks for preaching today. Welcome.
Thank you, Mike. Well, good morning, church. It's really good to be home. 25 years on the mission field, and we got to see and breathe and touch what God is doing around the world. But I want to bring to your attention this morning something that will shake you to your core, I believe. It should. 1/3 of humanity, over 3 billion people, are yet to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Think about that for a minute, right? You could walk through, just imagine walking through Orange Park this afternoon, or flying to New York and walking through that whole city, or walking through our whole nation and realizing that no one, not one single person, that large a group, has never, ever heard about Jesus Christ. No churches, no Bibles, no believers. That is our reality today in the world. 3 billion people have never heard about Jesus Christ. And yet we sit here today with access to the gospel at our fingertips. We have churches and Bibles and online sermons, Christian books and podcasts. But 1/3 of humanity, all they have is silence. They know nothing about what we believe. You know, the passage we looked at this morning and Mike just read is not just about Jesus appearing to his disciples right after the resurrection. It is a call to action for us, the church. You know, at the very end of the passage, the disciple John explains why this matters so much. In verse 31, as Mike read, it says, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." That is why we go. That's why it matters. And that's something that we can all pour our lives into. You know, that evening, that resurrection Sunday, the disciples gathered in a locked room, and they were afraid, it says. They were terrified that what happened to Jesus might happen to them. But in the midst of their fear, something incredible happened. Jesus showed up. You know, the first words he says to them are, "Peace be with you." He calms their fears and shows them the truth that he is in their presence. Now, let's think about that for a moment in light of 1/3 of humanity that has never heard the gospel. You know, they kind of live in a locked room too. But it's not physical doors, but it's cultural, linguistic, and religious barriers that keep them from hearing the truth. They're imprisoned in fear and uncertainty and hopelessness because they don't know the hope that is in Jesus Christ. You know, I saw this firsthand last year in India. I don't know if you're aware, and I'm grateful for the work that the church is helping in India. But mission experts have said that, and this was from May of 2024, they said that India stands as the greatest challenge to fulfilling the Great Commission. 3,000 people groups without a church, without a missionary to go to them, and without someone living close enough to them in their own language to share the good news of Christ. You know, India is home to 1.4 billion people. 1.3 billion of them are lost. Let me tell you about Aisha. I met Aisha in northern India. She's 35 years old and lives in a village where all she knows is Hinduism. Everywhere she looks, there's only Hindu temples. She had never met a Christian. She had never heard about Jesus. But there was something else, too. Aisha carried a deep burden. You see, she and her husband have been trying to have a child for years. And it has put immense pressure on them, on that couple, from their families, from the community, and from their friends. You know, in India, infertility is seen as a curse. And a woman like Aisha, she's a very professional woman, has a master's degree, but she's carrying around this incredible shame and rejection. She also has no future because her children are her future. There is no retirement plan in India. There's the children that are supposed to take care of you when you become old. When I sat with them, the couple, they told me repeatedly, over and over again, we have no hope. Now, I want you to imagine living your entire life believing you are cursed and that there is no way out. There's nowhere to turn. No good news, no savior. That's the reality for 3 billion people today. You know, the question is, how do we reach people like Aisha? You know, Jesus didn't just appear to the disciples to comfort them. He gave them a mission. He said, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. That same commission applies to us. We're not called to stay behind locked doors. We are called to go. And God is opening doors in unexpected ways. You might be surprised that a simple fertility test strip and a state-of-the-art fertility app is allowing missionaries to connect with thousands of unreached people in India. 1 in 6 women in India have been diagnosed as infertile. And actually, that's a consistent number around the world. 1 in 6 women in the world have been told that they are infertile, unable to conceive from age 20 to age 45. It's a massive challenge, but also an incredible opportunity. You can download an app, and you can help people here in Orange Park, in the remote parts of India, and to the edges of the world. If you were to pull out your phone, I'm not asking you to do that right now, and go to your Google Store or your App Store, you can download the Premom app, P-R-E-M-O-M. Okay, it's the state-of-the-art, it's the number one app fertility product in the world right now. And it's opening doors for missionaries in ways that we've never had before, in places that were closed to the gospel, because we are meeting a real and felt need. Missionaries are forming relationships, sharing the gospel, and discipling couples like Aisha and her husband. A little further down in what Mike read, it says, Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. You know, the mission before us is too big in our own strength. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to fulfill it. You know, I've seen this power at work in another place in my ministry, among the people of Iran. You know, the past 25 years, Kim and I have been planting churches among the Iranian people, the Islamic Republic of Iran. And last week, I received news here as I arrived that there's some Iranians that this church helped to relocate, right? They came from Turkey as Christian refugees that were persecuted for their faith, and now they live in the greater Jacksonville area because of you. I was able to help send them here, and you helped them to relocate. Well, just this last week, I heard that they want to start an Iranian church. God is at work among the nations. The Holy Spirit is moving. The question is, will we continue to join him? Grace Anglican Church, we can support and stand up a church here in Jacksonville of people who were former Muslims, a Muslim background believing church. I am certain that we can do that. You know, Thomas wasn't there when Jesus first appeared. And when the others told him, he refused to believe until he could see it for himself. Well, there are millions of people today who are like Thomas, but there's a difference. They never had the opportunity once to hear about Jesus Christ. They've never once had an opportunity to hear the good news of the gospel. We read the verse here in the New Testament reading. It says, how can they believe if they have not heard? Right? John explains why this matters so much, and I repeat, these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That is the reason we go. That is something worth pouring our lives into. You know, Jesus has conquered sin and death, but a third of the world is waiting to hear. How will we respond? You know, today as you leave, I'll be at the mission desk in the back, standing next to my friend David Garmus at the mission desk. You know, if you want to hear more about the work that's happening around the world and how you can be a part, please stop by and see me. But before I close, I want to give you a tangible reminder of those who have yet to hear the gospel. A third of humanity. Now, I'm going to take a pen here, a marker, and I'm going to make some marks on my hand, okay? I'm going to put two on this side and one on this side. Okay, it's my reminder that one third of humanity is yet to hear about the good news of Christ. Now, I'm going to give you an action point today, and I don't know if you're willing to do this, but I'd like you to go home, or when you get to your car, or maybe over coffee, I'd like you to draw three marks on your hand. Okay, two on the left and one on the right. And I'd like you to snap a picture, okay? And I'd like you to write this, okay? I want you to post it to your Facebook, okay? Or your Instagram, or maybe even TikTok. You can do a little dance maybe. But I want you to write in the comments, I want you to say, a third of humanity is still waiting to hear the good news. Let's pray, let's give, and let's go. Let me repeat that. A third of humanity is still waiting to hear the good news of Christ. Let us pray. Let us give. Let us go. It's a small but powerful way to raise awareness and remind ourselves of the urgent need to reach those who have yet to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. So let's not just hear the message, let's live it out this week. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for John writing how important this is. Lord, that we might be your agents, that we might tell the world of your saving grace. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.